Hey everybody, this is Steli Efti.
And this is Heaton Shah. And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about company updates.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
And this idea that you should be updating people outside your company about your company on a regular basis. And we'll talk really quickly about kind of different levels of this, because I think this is becoming more and more popular and obvious, as well as, something to point out is that this isn't just for investors. And if you have investors, this is also for self-funded companies, and we'll talk through that. One of the reasons this is an important topic to me is two things. One, I used to listen to earnings calls and read the transcripts and learn a lot about companies and public companies. Also S1s at one point in my life, just to learn about how they thought about themselves and also learn how to like communicate about your company to the outside world. I just had a lot of curiosity. The second way I learned it is when I got funded for my company, I needed to figure out how to do good company updates and all that. And what I'm realizing now is that in today's world, there are a lot of people to meet or talk to or hang out with that could give you feedback on your company. And so putting them, obviously with their permission or, you know, knowing that they'd be cool with it on a list so that you are updating on a monthly, even if they aren't like official equity holders or advisors to you, can be really valuable. So I just wanted to talk about that because I'm seeing this trend. And so I think it's good for all of us.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think that when you think about like investor updates or sending regular company updates, that it can feel like a chore from a founder's perspective, like, oh my God, I have to write this update and tell everybody how things are going. When you have investors, you're kind of forced to it. And oftentimes companies will do, I mean, there's probably still ranges from terrible job to exceptionally good job at it. And we will digest a little bit, or we'll go into the detail of what makes a good update and how to think about that. But companies that don't have investors and don't have kind of a forcing function for giving, you know, regular updates to stakeholders, usually they don't, right? Because they don't. There's no external pressure to do so. And company, like what I've seen is that it takes a high degree of discipline to do it when you're not forced to, right? But that discipline is really, really healthy. I remember for us, we never had to send updates to our investors. We never did regular updates to investors, even when we raised money from investors, kind of during the seed round. But we had one person, Paul Graham, PG from Y Combinator, that we would send an update, you know, every week with our growth number. Like we had the most important KPI, we just sent every week an email updating him on that one KPI. And we did this for, I don't know, I want to say like 9 months or something, 6 to 9 months, or a really fucking long time. And once in a while, when the number was consistently good, he would write back and give a little comment. And once in a while, when the number was consistently bad, he would write a little comment and ask some questions like, what's going on, dude? What is this? Why has it been going bad the last 4 months or the last 4 weeks? Or, guys, you're crushing it. This is the last 3 months I just calculated. You had this amount of growth. Awesome. Just keep doing this and you'll crush it. Like he would just give a little bit of comments. And once in a while, we'd just have the number and a little question to him or something we're struggling with. It was probably the shortest investor updates of all times, which is like a number. Like this week, we grew X%. And then once in a while, one more sentence, like a question. We have this problem, how to deal with this? ? And we did this very consistently on a weekly basis, though. That's the crazy thing, not on a monthly basis, which is probably the usual cadence. But even that, after the company became more established, and after we kind of outgrew the early pre-product market fit stage in the first, 6 to 9 months, we stopped sending those updates eventually. And today, this is something I've been thinking about for the last few weeks. So it's always fascinating to see you suggest this topic today, because it's been on my mind a little bit in the background, is thinking about doing this again, starting this again voluntarily with a few people that we trust and that we admire and that can give us really great advice, just to have the discipline of reporting to somebody else what's going on and learning and getting feedback and getting advice and getting somebody to point to the blind spots we might have. Because right now, for the past few years, we've only, you know, the only updates we do is within the company and within kind of the founding team, but we don't send any updates to anybody else externally.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I think it might be an end of the year thing too. You're thinking about how to get better or what you want to change. And Marie and I actually came up with the idea for ourselves a few weeks ago when we were thinking, we're like, well, there's a lot of people we know, including yourself, Steph, that we'd love to share, you know, updates for at least one of five of our businesses or more products. And we'd love their input on a regular basis. And, you know, I used to do company updates. I also get a lot of company updates from people who I don't have any equity ownership or any like, you know, relationship with on a professional level. And they send me their company investor updates or whatever, just because I'm always open to it. One, obviously seeing how other businesses work is always learnings. And two, they tend to find my advice valuable when I do give it. So I think we were both thinking about kind of the same thing, maybe end of the year and just thinking how to improve. But for me, it was really about how do we improve? How do we really get better at what we're doing? And one thing we haven't been doing ourselves either this year, besides internal company updates, is we haven't really been deliberately on a regular time-based cadence, letting our friends know what we're up to or letting people who we want their opinion on this stuff know what we're up to. Even if they don't like engage with it, we'd like them to know and see if that helps us out in any way. And I've seen it help the people that. So I think this is just the end of the year thing. That's probably why it's on your mind and my mind. I think we're the type of people that tend to want to improve every year. And end of the year is a good time to like reflect and think about it. So for us, it's just like we have friends, we have multiple products, and we know that at least the friends would be willing to read whatever we write and possibly give their input. So we wanted to start doing these updates for ourselves too. And I think that's why we were thinking about it. But you're right. It is something where if you're not forced to do it, you have to find a really good reason and see the value in doing it. Otherwise, it's just yet another thing that's like a chore.
Yeah. So let's maybe do this. Let's go through the list of different types of updates that you can send or different types of people that you can send updates to, and then what makes a good update. But I will say before we even jump to any of these two kind of more tactical, practical ways of thinking about it, I've been on updates of either individuals or startups for a variety of reasons. And one thing that they almost all have in common is that nobody survived like the 6 month mark, right? So meaning most of the kind of company updates that I was included in, either as an advisor or as a friend or in any other capacity, they started sending updates and they did it like, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 times max, and then they just stop. And so it makes me realize that being consistent with these updates is probably a really challenging thing, especially if there's no external force that is pressuring or forcing the company to send those updates. And then the second thing is that probably the way that most companies send out these updates is not structured in a way where they get enough help or feedback from them in a way that reinforces them to see the value in it and want to continue doing it, if that makes sense. So let's talk about those two things, one of the reasons why I haven't we haven't started sending updates to groups of people yet is because my thinking is before I start doing it, I need to commit that I'll do it for a year, because I don't want to just get started. I don't want to get started on a whim. If I do it, I need to think about like the types of people I want to include, the way I'm going to structure it in a way where me and the group can get some value out of it, and I can be very consistent with it. So I think consistency is like the top thing that comes to my mind when I think about these updates. But real quick, let's run through the different list of people that you could be updating as a startup or as a company, right? We have investors. That's the obvious one. If you have an advisory board, that's an obvious one. Friends, your community or your like friends and family might be, I'm not sure if that's the right circle, but there is a For us, we started a Facebook group recently that's like the Close IO Mafia, right? And it's like all kinds of people that worked in the company, that are friends of our company. And so over the years, you know, there's like a network of people that have either worked with us as contractors or full-time employees that are now doing other interesting, cool shit. And we want to keep all these people up to date with what's going on with us, and we want to hear what's going on with them. So how do you do that? So one person on the team took it upon himself to be like, you know, I'm going to start a little Facebook group and be posting updates in there and try to create a little community of alumni for the business. So, you know, people that have worked for your company or that are friends of your company in one way or another. Mentors, advisors, people that, operators, people that can give tactical advice or strategic advice because they've run companies, they are subject matter experts or something along those lines. So people that you update to get feedback on the progress of the overall company or get strategic feedback or tactical help with introductions or anything else. Those are the groups that I can think of that one could be sending kind of regular updates to.
Yeah, I think all those groups make sense. One I'd add is like, if you meet someone and they're helpful to you, you can always ask them if they should be added to the list. So I meet a lot of people and some people will just ask me, hey, I like what you had to say and your feedback on our business is great. Do you want to get our updates? No obligation to respond or anything, but I just love to keep you posted. So that's a little on the casual side, but like I found those to be valuable and a source where I know that the people I talk to, who I ask, when they ask me that, I ask them like, oh, do you do this often? Or he's like, yeah, when I meet someone, you know, maybe once a month I do this and I get someone new on the list because they were useful to me and had a perspective that I valued.
I love that. And this is also the I think, feedback to people that are seeking advice from mentors or from people they look up to or they think could be valuable to them is I always tell people when I chat with founders and I give some advice, I always tell them the worst thing that could happen now at the end of the conversation is I never hear from you again, right? That would be the most heartbreaking thing. We spent like 30 minutes, 20 minutes talking to each other. I got to know you a little bit better. I heard about your challenges. I offered some solutions. We're not this very positive place where you're like, yes, oh my God, this is an awesome approach. I'll try this. This is exciting. Worst thing that can happen is I never hear from you again, right? So please keep me up to date. Keep me in the loop. And the few people, most people don't do that, but the few people that do, they really stand out. And, you know, half a year, 2 years into the relationship, I have a guy that's been updating me for the past like 3 years. I feel like I love that guy and I feel like I really know him and I would do a lot to help him, right? Because he's taking me on a ride through all the highs and all the lows, and he's always kept me up to date and in the loop on his journey as an entrepreneur. And that makes me a lot more invested in him and his story than, there's like thousands of people I met 3 years ago that I've never heard of again. I don't know who these people are. If they send me an email today and they go, hey, Steli, it's been a while. Can you help me with X, Y, Z? I won't even remember who this person is. So keeping people up to date and in the loop is such a powerful relationship building tool I love that idea of that when you meet people that are valuable, just ask them if you can keep them up to date and add them to the list. That's killer. And then one other thing before I forget it, before we go into like what makes an update really great, I actually even have a friend who's doing this for personal reasons. I just realized this guy, Max, shout out to Max. Max, once a year in December, right? This is the month, sends an email to all his friends and whoever else is on the email, but it's like, it's a personal email. And it's basically like, hey, to all my friends out there in the world, here's what Max's year was like. You know, here's the cool shit that happened this year. We got another little baby. We moved. We have a new house. Here's some pictures. Here's some stuff. I changed my job. I'm now in this department working on these projects. It gives like a life update. And then even like quirky enough, he's like, okay, here are the top 3 products I bought this year that I really love and I can recommend. Here's the top 4 movies I watched that I really love with a little description. Like, here's the summary of this movie, why it was incredible. Here's my favorite music albums of the year. You know, I'd love to hear from you guys. Just hit reply and let me know what has been new in your life if we haven't met or talked recently. And it's such a powerful thing. Like, it's such an awesome thing because, you know, there's many years now he's living in the Bay Area, but there were many years where I did, like, for 3 year period, I didn't see him almost at all because he was in Germany. I was in the Bay Area. But sending like a personal update on like, here's what happened in my life last year, the things I appreciate, I want to hear from you, with like a large global group of friends. It's a really sweet idea, a really cool idea, I think. So just throwing that out there as another kind of venue for doing updates, right? Not just for startups, but also for your life.
I love that. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's an awesome idea. All right. So with that being said, let's maybe dive a little bit as kind of at the end of the episode. Give people some tips on like what makes a good update, besides being, you know, consistent with it. What distinguishes the great updates from the good ones or the bad ones in your eyes? You've been part of many of them. What comes to your mind?
I think data, transparency, and learnings. So data is like talk about the metrics, just like you were saying with the Paul Graham update that you had. You told him what the growth rate was or how many, you know, number of customers or whatever it was that you were sharing that you got every week, right? New customers or whatever. Then the transparency is just like, if something went wrong, tell people, right? Or if something was bad, tell people. If something was good, tell people. And then sort of the learnings are more like, what did you do and what did you learn? And so those are the kind of three things that to me matter the most, data, transparency, and learnings. And then a thing I'll add on top of that is like, keeping it the right length is also super important. So like, don't make it super long, but give enough context. And if you have if you're the type of person that likes to make things super long, put it into bullets and structure it more. Because a long email is okay. A long update is okay, as long as it's structured. That way the people that are reading it can decide what they look at or not. Also, I've seen more and more of these updates include like a TLDR, a too long didn't read sort of section at the top that summarizes essentially what happened. So I'm not saying do an update and write it in 5 minutes and call it a day. I'm saying do an update and spend like 20 minutes, an hour on it, and actually make it thoughtful. And honestly, make it the same thing you send your team, you know, if you're into that. And that way you're not just doing it for the company. I'm sorry, you're not just doing it for people outside the company. You're also kind of sending the same thing to the company if that's helpful in getting you to do it.
Yeah, I love that. I love the summary tip at the top. I always love that because sometimes I won't just have time to go through everything, even if it's well-structured, which is another thing. You said it right. Like an email can be really long. If it has headers and subheaders and bullet points, it allows me to scan through and zoom into the areas I want to read more. So that makes it easy to digest. But sometimes I don't even have the time for that. And all I want to know is like, is everything going well? Or what's like a big problem? Like what's the summary of what's going on? And having like a little sentence that just says, hey, you know, because sometimes you could read, the worst updates to me are the ones that have like lots and lots of data, but it's the data is structured and communicated in a way where at the end of all of this, I still don't know like how to feel about this or what kind of advice to give, because there's like context missing, because it's too broad in terms of the type of data that is shared. So now I know all these like random things and have all these random data points, but I don't know what the interpretation of that data is. I don't have enough context day to day to know what to say or think or do or advise about this. So sometimes it's very powerful to just summarize at the top, hey, things are going well, here's our problem, or here's the one area, you know, in our funnel that we're most concerned with, here's why, here's what we've tried to do. If you have any ideas, let us know. You can dig more into that data, you know, in the update in the third subheader or something. And now I can go, oh, they're really struggling with like converting or getting people engaged on the trial. Let me look at the trial funnel numbers down here and ask some questions or make some suggestions. So I think that that's really crucial. Having like a summary, having the information, the data really well structured. Learnings is a really powerful thing. She's not just talking about like, here are the things we're struggling with, but also here are the things that we recently learned, and here's how we are putting those learnings into practice. And then sometimes I've seen this, again, some companies do this really well, others don't. It's like a call to action, right? Or an ask. Oftentimes it's like at the end of the email, it's like our one ask to everybody. And sometimes companies are too broad with their ask, or they have too many asks. They're like, here are the things we need. And it's like 7 bullet points. It's like, I don't even want to read all this. Like, can't you just ask me one thing? And sometimes companies are really like focused and very smart about how they ask for help. And they go, hey, we need this one thing, and this takes what we want from you is this one simple action. We'd highly appreciate it. So that's one thing. And then the other thing that I'll say about updates is like, when people give you feedback on the updates, right? It doesn't matter if they ask you questions or if they make suggestions or if they give you some kind of an advice. The most valuable thing to me is to, give some feedback or close the feedback loop eventually on if the company tried that advice and it worked or didn't work, or if they tried something else and that worked or didn't work, right? So the worst thing that can happen is like, I'm getting these updates, I'm replying to you and telling you, giving you some ideas or suggestions or some stuff, and then I never hear from you about that, and I just keep getting generic updates, right? Eventually, if you want people to keep engaging with the update, you want to be communicating really well back with them on like how valuable or not valuable their feedback was. Even if it's like you've never tried any of the stuff that they told you to do, or you always go the opposite way, that's actually good feedback, being like, hey, here's the three reasons why we never do what you tell us, Sally, and here's why things are still going really awesome. Like, that's valuable. That's exciting to me. So making sure that you keep people in the feedback loop as they, or when they help you, if you ask, hey, we're trying to hire somebody, can you make introductions? I now send you three introductions to people. Awesome, right? This update thing works really well. Well, it doesn't if I never hear back from you about these three people. Because right. Next time you'll ask for more, like, oh, now we're hiring this other person, I'm not going to make intros anymore because I don't really know what happened. So keep me in the loop. If I make intros, send me an email a few weeks later and say, hey, these three people were great. We made one person offer. The other two people weren't the right fit because of XYZ. Educate me. Share learnings with me. So the next time you ask for hiring recommendations, I know now a little bit better who you're looking for culturally or whatever you're looking for. And I also feel good about making recommendations because I know that you actually talk to these people and try to hire them. And it was like a productive exercise. So keep people in the loop with the feedback they give you or the responses they give you to your updates. So they keep being engaged and they see the value in engaging with your updates, reading them, responding, and trying to help you.
Yep, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap from us. Before we go, this is a very unusual episode. So typically, just to give you a behind-the-scenes look, Heaton and I, most of our, like, almost 300 episodes that we've done so far are, like, one take, no editing whatsoever, right? And it's funny, this week I was interviewed on a bunch of podcasts, and it's just such an interesting, weird feeling when I'm on a podcast where this constantly stop and go because the host or the hosts are like, well, let's say this again. Let's go back. Note to the editor. Let's cut this out. Like, they have these multiple takes. It's such an unnatural thing for me, but I think that's kind of probably what's the industry standard. But Heaton and I, we do one take. We don't do a lot of editing. But today we had like issues with the mic and the Wi-Fi and the cutting in and out, and we had to do like three starts. And both of us were suicidal. We're like, oh my God, this is such a painful experience. One shout out that I want to give to the team that helps us upload the podcast, helps us, you know, edit the intro, and has now just launched a new product, is the Podcast Motor guys. Big shout out to them and to Craig from Podcast Motors. They just launched a brand new podcast hosting service called Castos. Castos.com, Castos.com. Check it out. The team over there is stellar. These guys are killer, and we couldn't have made it to 2 years of the startup chat without them. So if you're thinking about doing a podcast, if you need people to edit, to upload, to work with you on the podcast, or to host your podcast, check out Castos.com. A big shout out to them. And that's a wrap from us.
Yep, couldn't do it without them. So please check them out.